Okay, you want to talk about some claymation?
Sure.
All right. Okay, so welcome everyone to TubaCast. I'm your host, Christopher, and with me is my brother, Matthew.
Hey, you can talk to him how the audio doesn't suck this time.
Oh, yeah, so we're super excited because I finally figured out the whole audio thing, and you can hear what my brother really sounds like.
That's probably the worst.
But... we just lost 100 listeners.
That's going to be funny is that this episode sounds like crud, too.
Or it sounds really good, and then all of a sudden there's no more subscribers or anything. Like, oh, never mind. Okay, so tonight we are going to talk about claymation. I actually have an update. Let's see, a couple podcasts ago, we talked about stuffed animals, and I totally forgot to mention this after that. After that podcast, I got on eBay and tried to look up some of the stuffed animals that we had talked about, and I actually found the little bear that my brother had mentioned in the podcast on eBay, and it turns out it's a 1978, oh man, what was the brand? Dang it, I should have wrote this down.
Starts with a D, doesn't it?
Oh, Dannon? So I found the little bear on eBay, and it's made in 1978, and I found a somewhat close version of the Winnie the Pooh doll that I had talked about, and it was made for Sears and sold by Gund, 1978 or so, too. So that was pretty weird that we had talked about it, and the next day at work, I mean, the next day at home, I was on eBay and actually found both of them, which is pretty weird.
Yeah, the little bear was D-A-I-N, a 1975 Dane teddy bear.
Oh, okay. That was it. Man, I was shocked when I saw that. It just kind of took my breath away. I was like, no way that's on there.
And I asked you, I said, how do you do that? I mean, how does that even happen? Because you can't just type in little bear into eBay and find it. You know what I'm saying?
Actually, that's what I typed in. It was stuffed bear, and it was like on the third page. It took me like 3 minutes to find it,
that's just crazy.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be like a million teddy bears on there.
So that either means that's very serendipitous. I mean, that's just amazing, or it was a very popular stuffed animal.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, but there was only one on eBay, so can't be that popular.
Maybe there's only three in the whole world.
Yeah, we should have bought the other one. We own them all.
Maybe if you put them all together, it's like final pieces of a puzzle and unlimited power.
Yeah, we just lost it. Okay, so now what I want to do is kind of briefly just give a shout out to some of the podcasts that I've listened to and that have mentioned my name or that I've emailed and they've kind of read my email or something just to, you know, spread the goodwill or whatever. So, of course, the first one is Retroist.com, and he has a podcast every week, which I do an illustration for, which is pretty neat because it's a lot of really fun topics. Some of the stuff I've never even heard of, so it's pretty fun for me. Then there's ChickenPopPod.com. They have a pretty funny podcast. They've actually read emails from me and my brother.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, that was
it. And they do every now and then, they do... video, don't they? Like, there's a couple of video episodes of them.
Yeah. I was thinking about us doing one, but we'll see.
They put a lot of effort into those. Those are pretty sweet.
Yeah, and then TV Ate My Dinner, which is actually found at darkcrazy.com, and that one's a pretty good one, too. I like that one a lot. And then horroretc.com, they've actually mentioned this podcast on there, so that's really cool. Oh man, I hope I'm not missing any other ones. Okay, so anyway, so there's that. So for weekly news, I'm gonna pander for a second. My scanner just broke last night, which really sucks because I was trying to scan in some artwork and it just died. So what I'm gonna do, since I don't have any money to buy a new one and I need one like tomorrow, I'm going to be selling some of the paintings that I've done for the Retroist.com. So if any of you would like to buy an original watercolor painting, head over to Retroist.com and check out the podcast gallery. I've done like 20 pieces of art. And if you want one, I'll sell them for like 25 bucks.
So can you sign it?
Yeah, they're signed. And they're all kind of topics. There's Knight Rider, Dungeons & Dragons, all kind of like retro topics. So anyway... if you're interested,
you should actually check them out because they're actually pretty cool. The way you kind of re-envision them, what would you call that art style? It's kind of like you take the topic and you
I just
filter it through.
I just call it awesome. No, I don't know. I kind of take it and kind of make it cartoony. I don't know, like goofy fun. Have you seen any of the new ones I've done so far for
Which ones were?
2010, starting with Jaws?
I think I saw the Jaws one.
Yeah, I've gone to kind of a different route with them. Instead of before, I was trying to keep a consistent style with all of them. It was kind of limiting. So now I'm doing each one whatever kind of comes to me. Each one's a little different, but they're not watercolors, so you can't. It's harder to sell those because some of them are digital and whatever. Okay, so anyway, so there's that. If you want a painting, check it out. Email me, ChristopherTupa@hotmail.com. That's all I got for this week.
Well, I saw Hell's Angels.
Hell's Angels, what's that?
Is it 1938, 1930, 1932? It's Howard Hughes' movie.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch The Aviator, where was it Leonardo DiCaprio kind of plays his life, which is a good movie in itself. In the very beginning, he's trying to film this old. It's kind of set in World War I movie. I don't watch a lot of movies that old.
Yeah.
And this movie is mostly black and white, and there's two sections that were restored in color. It moves kind of slow, I guess, compared to modern movies. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing either, but yeah, it's 2 hours and it's awesome.
Really?
Oh yeah, you got to watch it.
It's called Hell's Angels.
It's called Hell's
I'm gonna
Angels,
write it down
and
right now.
I won't give too much away, but I guess at some point in the back half of the movie, there's a bunch of dog fighting. Like most of the movie's kind of just talking and building up to it. Although there's certainly a very iconic scene in the middle with the Zeppelin. But at the end, there's a bunch of biplanes and a World War I Gotha German bomber. Or there's a German bomber in there. And what's amazing is they're all real biplanes out there. There's like 50, 60 of them flying in the sky.
Oh, really?
And it's real. I mean, it's not CG. They're not models. It's 1930s, right? And they're real pilots out there. And when you just see them all start to engage, you know, because they break the formations and they just start, well, I guess, mock dogfighting, and you realize it's real people, it's just incredible.
Wow.
I mean, the whole movie's worth that scene alone, but it's a good movie.
Cool. I wrote it down.
Yes, it's definitely worth taking a look at.
Yeah, it's interesting you should mention that. I just watched Only Angels Have Wings, and it's about I guess like what is it? Mail, what are they called? The pilots that deliver the mail? Air carriers or air mail or whatever. But I guess it's down in South America, and it's got Gregory Peck. It's okay. It was kind of neat, but kind of long. But I like those some of those older movies because they talk real fast and it's real like sharp dialogue. They don't like waste a lot of time, you know, blabbing and you know just talking to talk. Everything's like has a point and it's real sharp. And then it's the next guy and it's the next guy. So you got to really pay attention. Pretty neat. Okay, so tonight we are going to talk about claymation. And we're strictly doing claymation. We're not doing, you know, the broad topic of stop motion. We're going to cover stop motion that is not claymation at another time. So tonight we're just going to do claymation. And
What's the difference between the two?
well, claymation is, I guess, what you would call a subset of stop motion.
I like I have to sound that out. Subset.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Dad. Hold on. Let me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, how are you doing, Dad?
Good.
Hey, Dad.
Hello, Matthew.
I was just telling Christopher how I found out today Reese's motorcycle's inspection expired in September of last year, and I've been riding around on it a whole semester.
Wow.
Because, hey, when you're on a bike, breaking a law feels good.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so
Is you're explaining the difference between claymation and stop motion.
Okay, so stop motion is where you shoot one frame at a time, and then in between frames you move whatever object you're shooting, and then take a picture or shoot a frame, however you say it, and then move it, shoot a frame, move it.
So kind of like the Snow Imperial Walker scene in The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, that is stop motion. Robot Chicken is stop motion. The skeletons in what was that? Jason and the Argonauts.
Yeah.
That stop motion. Coraline, Nightmare Before Christmas, all that stuff. Gumby. But what we're gonna focus on is the stop motion that is primarily claymation,
Well,
which.
wait a minute. How could Gumby be stop motion but not claymation?
He is. Claymation is just...
You know what the hell are you talking about?
Claymation is stop motion.
Right.
And it was real popular. Nowadays, stop motion is much more advanced where they don't use claymation as much. It's more like little dolls and like Robot Chicken is toys, and they use some clay like for the faces and stuff.
So why would you need to create a subset of stop motion specifically called claymation? Because if stop motion could be models, it could be plastic people, could be clay. What makes clay so unique that it's deemed a subset?
Well, for me, claymation it was real popular in the 80s, and it's sort of like an evolution, and now they've kind of, you know, some people still do it like Wallace and Gromit, but in the 80s, it was like almost everything was claymation. But now they've gotten so advanced where you can do claymation, or you can do like little models or little toys or like build little plastic figurines that are movable. So if you don't want that clay look, you don't have to. But it seems like back when it was stop motion was developing, claymation was kind of what everyone was doing. Did that make any sense? I don't know. I'm sure.
I looked on Wikipedia, and you know, like stop motion is such a wide area. I mean, not only like models like the AT-AT, but I'm looking, they got like an animated GIF of a coin moving across the table. So stop motion is a very broad technique, whereas claymation is stop motion, but it's specifically used with clay.
Correct. Yeah, and a lot of special effects use stop motion, or they used to. So yeah, it is very broad. Like you mentioned, the AT-ATs in Star Wars, that's all stop motion. But you know, tonight we're just going to talk about the clay because stop motion is so big. We'd be here for, you know, forever.
You know what's kind of interesting is you mentioned Gumby. Gumby used both. I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but they used both claymation, obviously, for the characters. But like all the little cars and the books and the planes and stuff flying around, that was just traditional stop motion.
Yeah, that's a good point. They used both in that one. Gumby is the first one I remember seeing as a kid. I remember watching it on TV, and what I really liked about Gumby was whenever he went into the books, it was like a different adventure. He could always go on any kind of adventure he wanted just by going inside a different book.
Yeah, and pretty smart too, because you never run out of topics you can do a show about.
Yeah, well, they've got a TV cartoon show right now. It's not claymation; it's just straight cartoon, but it's something similar to that. It's not Gumby. It's where these four kids have a problem, and then they normally go solve it, but they go solve it in like a book or something like that. So it's a real modern take on Gumby.
Huh. I haven't seen that one.
But they go inside books, and then they have this computer that gives them the answer, but it's letters. They have to go, and they have to search for letters through clues, and they jump inside books.
Huh, yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
That sounds kind of neat. Did you ever watch Gumby, Dad?
I've been such a long time ago since I've seen them. I've seen Wallace and Gromit. I like them. Yeah, I've watched Gumby, but, you know, nothing recent.
So when you were growing up, Dad... As I don't mean this to sound horrible.
Did you watch TV with the dinosaurs?
I don't remember because our first TV was black and white, and
yeah.
I don't know if they had color televisions when we first got our TVs. I don't remember cartoons. That doesn't mean they didn't have them. I just don't remember them.
And most of your TV was from antenna, right? Well, I guess everyone's was.
It was antenna. We live in a country.
So do you remember growing up ever watching like claymation at any point on TV?
No, I don't. But I've forgotten a lot.
Yeah, I think on Wikipedia it said that claymation has been around since like the early
1900s. 1908.
And then, of course, after, or I guess maybe, I don't know if it was right after Gumby or before, but they had Davy and Goliath, which I don't really remember seeing too much. I remember seeing it a couple times, but I like the dog, but I don't really remember watching it.
Was VeggieTales claymation?
No, it's computer.
Okay.
But the next one I have is the California Raisins, which...
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
Which is pretty neat, because I don't think they ever really had a TV show. I know they made a couple specials, because I have them on a VHS tape, but they were just really commercials, weren't they? And they just took off?
Yes, yeah, I believe so.
Because I have a... I have two 30-minute kind of specials, and one of them is like, I guess they got how they got to be big, and then the other one is how they, I guess they kind of stopped being big, and then they got popular again or something. It's pretty neat. It's talking about like their managers and stuff, but it's really neat stuff. It's some of that claymation is hard to watch now because it's so rough. When I watched it the first time, I was like, it was just the most awesome thing in the world to make something like that and make it move. And you can make anything you want out of clay and animate it. And I even tried making stuff out of clay. I didn't have a camera or anything, but I always wanted to do it. I don't know if I wrote Will Vinton Studios or not, but I always wanted to work for him.
Oh, maybe it's for the best. I don't. How do they do a lot of business still?
I saw their name on something not too long ago, but I don't think it's like it was in its heyday. I mean, they're putting out stuff every year. They did their Claymation Christmas, and they did a Claymation Halloween special and a Claymation Easter special. And the Christmas one's really neat. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, now that one was kind of – and I'm just remembering it through childhood, so I could be completely wrong. But it was like the California Raisins Christmas special, right?
I think it's called Claymation Christmas Special because it had like three different stories.
They advertised it heavily with California Raisins. And that's why we watched it, because, oh, California Raisins. And isn't there's like two dinosaur news reporters?
Yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah, and it's a really – I remember it being really awesome, and there's a whole bunch of little – what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a
vignette.
Yeah, thank you. Vignette of a bunch of different scenes, completely almost unrelated except by Christmas. And then there's one short segment with California Raisins.
Yeah, they sing Rudolph. And there's a spot with the three wise men and the camels singing Oh Holy Night, which is really neat.
That is cool, yeah.
And then there's a part with the ringing of the bells, and one of the bells is this goofy bell with a big buck tooth, and he keeps messing up, and he loses his hammer.
Oh, that's funny. When he looks at the other guy and goes,
I lost mine.
Yeah. That was so awesome.
I would mess with that. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, so if you guys get a chance, you should definitely check that out. Cause that's.
Yeah, I don't recommend the Halloween one because that one's really bad. I bought the DVD this year and it had all three of them on it. And I watched I've never seen the Halloween one before. And it's about this kind of like punk kid. And he's got a pig sidekick or something. And they go to a haunted mansion, and there's all these monsters. And he's like a jerk, and his aunt or his grandma's there, and she's like a skeleton because she's dead. And he's real mean to her. And then at the end, he makes some kind of giant monster or something, but he's using it to like chase people. You keep waiting for him to like reform and turn into like a good kid. And at the end, he's still just as bad. It's just, like, so weird. But I haven't seen the Easter one yet, but I'm going to wait till March or April to watch that one. And then they also made that the Mark Twain claymation movie.
Dang it, that was what I was going to talk about.
Go ahead.
So The Adventures of Mark Twain was in 1986, and it's this complete claymation movie. And we first saw it, I guess, on TV on Showtime. We had like a 1 month free trial or something. I don't know. This is after we got cable. I think it might have been when we moved to Texas. But what I remember the first part was they're in some kind of blimp or balloon.
Okay.
And one of the floors in the gondola, or I guess just the whole part of the ship, was basically The Mysterious Friend, which is a book by Mark Twain. And it's this really weird, freaky kid, and he's talking to like a boy and a girl, maybe brother and sister, and I guess the guy is supposed to be God or the devil, you know, he's making people out of clay and bringing them to life, and then he causes an earthquake and destroys all these little claymation people and stuff.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
And it's really freaky. I mean, if you watch the movie, and we watch it as little kids, it's scary. I mean, it's kind of disturbing. Years later, I actually read the book, Mysterious Stranger, and it's actually a really good book, and it's kind of an allegory for religion and mankind, and it's a short read, but it's a good academic read. Anyway, I ran into the movie a couple years ago, now that I'm a little older and wouldn't be as freaked out by the claymation sequence, and it's a trip.
Yeah.
The movies, it took like all of Mark Twain's books, oh, the good ones, and crammed them into this completely weird claymation movie that I don't even remember what it's about, but it's just weird.
Yeah, that's the only thing I remember is a balloon thing and it just being freaky, and it wasn't like the California Raisins.
And like the main bad guy, there's a bad guy in there, and I guess he's trying to kill Mark Twain for some reason, and it turns out he's like really the devil. Or like a demon, or the embodiment of evil. It's, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, they don't make kids movies like that nowadays. Okay, well, next on my list I have the Noid, the Domino's pizza mascot with the with the long red ears and the white tennis shoes or something.
Right, I watched some of those the other day.
So I don't really remember too much of it. What was the deal? They were trying to catch him or something?
Well, he's just a guy that he doesn't like pizza, so he tries to freeze them and destroy them.
Oh, okay.
So Domino's thing was Domino's pizzas are impervious to the Noid. He'd run around freezing other people's pizzas, but when he would freeze theirs, it wouldn't work.
Oh, okay. At the that antique show that we go to every year, they had a Noid figurine there that I saw.
They made a video game, a Nintendo game of the Noid.
Oh, yeah.
One of the worst Nintendo games ever.
Oh, really?
It's horrible.
I always liked the Noid. He was cool.
But, yeah, he's a bad guy. I mean, the commercials make him out to be kind of a lovable bad guy. And then they make a video game off of him.
Yeah, so there's really not a whole lot to the Noid other than just those commercials.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, they made so many of them, played him so much, I think people got tired of him. He kind of became what, like a fad, and they were on shirts and everything, and I guess it just wore out his welcome.
I think people just got tired of it.
I think they should bring him back.
A miniseries. TV.
Is Domino's Pizza still around?
Yeah. Okay. Wait, I don't know.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so then I was trying to go kind of chronologically. Celebrity Deathmatch was on MTV, I think, maybe in the late 80s, I don't know, early 90s, and it was celebrities made into claymation figures, and they would, like, fight, and I've never seen any, because we didn't have MTV at the time, whenever it was, but I always wanted to see them. I don't know if you guys have seen any of those.
Sorry, Dad.
I don't remember that.
I saw some, but I never really liked it. It was kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say sloppy, but it just seemed kind of dumb.
Yeah. Okay, and then the Chevron car commercials, where the little cars talk with, and they have the eyes as headlights.
The Techron or whatever.
They started out as claymation. Now they're not. But when they first came out, they were claymation. That was pretty neat. Now they're computer, but
they still make them?
I think so. I haven't seen one in a while. And then, of course, like, I don't know what shows, but Nickelodeon used to have these shows where they would have, like, little... It was kind of like Sesame Street, where it would have a bunch of little segments, and sometimes they would be claymation. And Sesame Street, I think, had little claymation segments, too. You know, I'm just going to throw those out there.
Remember, there's two. One was the bumpers between, I guess, maybe USA or cartoons or whatever, and it was a dog peeing on a fire hydrant.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like a bumper in between for commercials. And then you got to talk about Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, they had claymation on that?
Yeah, Pee-wee's Playhouse, the Saturday, you know, I guess, kids show, which, geez, that's an episode in itself. But they always had a segment that was claymation. Was it Penny? She had two pennies for her eyes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she looked like she was dead. Soulless eyes.
That's funny because back in the 1800s when people died, they put pennies on their eyes.
Yeah.
I guess that's where maybe it's supposed to be spoofing that. I don't know. I just thought it was because her name was Penny, but oh, that's weird. I'm going to have to go back and watch. Weird. I wonder if that's why they did that. Or if I just thought it because her name was Penny, so they had.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's what I thought.
Oh,
those guys must be on such crazy drugs that I wouldn't put it past them to do that.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to look that up. That's interesting. I had forgotten all about that. Yeah, that was a neat one.
That was actually a good show because they used stop motion too. I mean, they used everything.
I think all the rest I have are late '90s. Do you have any more from back then when we were kids? I can't think of any other ones.
It seemed like other than Gumby. You never really saw anything consistent because so much time and effort was involved in making it. So it's like in the 80s, you know, you'd see them every now and then. And when you did, I always felt like it was a real treat. And, you know, you had a sense that a lot of effort went into them, you know. But then you look back and I don't know when Gumby's came out, the 60s or 70s. And it's like, holy, holy cow, there's all these episodes of Gumby and they're all claymation.
Yeah.
So I would always wonder – what transpired in those, I don't know, years or decades that they could make a complete claymation series, Gumby, and yet they don't do it now, being the 80s.
Yeah, like what happened in the 70s, you know?
Yeah.
In the 60s, or you know, that's a huge gap. Yeah, I don't know. That is strange. Because I thought Gumby was somewhat popular, and I don't remember anything else between, you know, Gumby and then all of a sudden whatever was after that, California Raisins, you know, 20 years later.
I guess animation got cheaper. I mean, maybe it's like they came up or found a way to do like cheaper pigments, cheaper paints, make the process cheaper. So animation in color all of a sudden became something – this is all conjecture, of course – something, you know, a normal studio could do and not just Disney. And so it became much cheaper to do than claymation. So claymation kind of became something that was more exclusive than the norm.
Yeah, it could be. It's probably faster too.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So okay, so then let's see. What do I got next? I'm just going to throw out Wallace and Gromit because those are probably the best claymation I've ever seen. Those, the shorts – and the Were Rabbit. I mean, it's amazing. The lighting. Oh man, they're just so good. You watch those and especially the Were Rabbit and then the new one, something about baking bread. I mean, you forget it's even claymation. It's just so good.
Yeah, the one about the baking the bread thing. What's so neat about that is some of it happens inside of the bread baking factory, and they have gears and forklifts and all kinds of stuff moving around. And I saw a little thing on how they make it. I guess it came on the DVD and how they built this building, and then they have to put cameras all over everything as they move this thing little piece at a time. And then they had to make several different forklifts because I guess maybe they got damaged or wore out during the shooting, and they had to make them all exactly identical. But anyway, it's amazing how they make this claymation thing where they put all the cameras and actually put them down, you know, at the level of the of like the fork truck moving through the building. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I would love to go and spend, you know, a week on the set and just watch how they, you know, how do they choreograph all that? Because a lot of that stuff, they've got multiple things moving. The guy's talking and there's stuff moving in the background and then the other person's moving. And, wow, I mean... Because if you forget one of them, you know, you have to start all over.
Yeah, I would think they watch that really close every day or during the day.
Yeah, we were talking about how one of the earlier podcasts about how they make mistakes in movies about switching clothes and switching guns and stuff.
Right.
Well, you can't do that in, in stop motion. I mean... if you switch something, it's going to be like really obvious. It'll throw the whole thing off. They need to get some of these stop motion guys to to make regular movies, and maybe there won't be so many mistakes.
Right. Well, there's also there's those other two shows that we saw recently. One was those, I think it was Australian Animals. They're doing like a TV broadcast, like a news network interview.
Or
English Animals.
Yeah, Creature Comforts.
Okay.
That's by the same guys that do Wallace and Gromit. Yeah, that's where they went and like interviewed people and then animated like zoo animals.
Right. I didn't think that wasn't very popular here, was it?
I don't think so. I think it was real popular in Britain, and then they came out over here about a couple years ago, and they had a TV series where it ran for a season. But I don't think it caught on. It was pretty neat. I liked it.
Well, I liked the claymation. I just didn't like the show.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, it's just people, you know, though I guess they pick a topic and then they go around interviewing people. So it's kind of, it's different, you know, it's, but it's pretty, yeah, it's pretty neat. That claymation is really fun.
And then there's this other one about these two Australian brothers living out in the outback, I think, with all their friends, and they go through all kinds of different, Is that stop motion or claymation?
Is that the Koala Brothers?
Yeah, Koala Brothers.
I think the animals are claymation, and everything else is like little models and stuff. I'm pretty sure the characters are claymation. It's kind of hard to tell now because they're so smooth. Like back in the 80s, you could see fingerprints and stuff in the clay, and you could tell it was clay. But now they're so smooth, it's hard to tell. I think they are clay, though. That's a really good show. I like that one a lot. Those koalas are they're just so like carefree. Like I got their Christmas special, and there's a penguin that is in some of the episodes, and the penguin lives in Antarctica, and it came to visit them. And so in the Christmas special, the penguin hurt its wing, so it couldn't make it, or it hurt its leg. I don't know. So the outback animals are having a little Christmas party for Christmas, but they're sad because the penguin can't make it. So the two brothers are like, well, the one brother's like, we got to go get her. And he's like, you know, tomorrow's Christmas. And he's like, I don't care. I'm going to go fly and get her. And he's like, you don't even know where she is. And he's like, we'll get a map. So anyway, so he's like, I'm doing it. So they just get in their plane and fly to Antarctica. And it's like, what? That's just crazy. And he's like, yeah, well, we can make it. It's so funny. And then they crash, and they just happen to crash, you know, where the penguin lives and everything. And somehow they get their plane out or whatever. But it's pretty neat because it's like, yeah, you know, they don't think, you know, well, we could run out of gas, or we could fly, you know, and run out of gas and crash in the ocean, or we could fly to Africa. They're just like, yeah, we can do it.
Which are you talking about?
The Koala Brothers. It's
I've never seen that.
I've never seen it on TV. I've only seen the DVDs. I think it might be on Nickelodeon, but I'm not sure. But it's really neat. And the sets, it's just like maybe six or seven animals. They live out in the outback in the middle of nowhere, and there's a couple houses. But, man, the detail in the houses, man, it's awesome. It's really neat. Watching that show makes me want to build a set like that and, like, make my own little show. So neat. And they fly an airplane.
Is the airplane yellow?
Yes.
With a blue cowl and...
I don't know about...
I'm watching it right now.
A blue cowl.
Cowl, yeah, and then red seats.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And every time they take off, the wing hits their mailbox and knocks it down.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. There's a guy with paddles trying to direct a plane.
Yes, that's...
Right, right. That's it.
Oh, and he knocked the mailbox down.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a neat show. Then there's also Bob the Builder, which, you know, I'm sure y'all probably seen that guy or know who he is.
Yeah.
That one's kind of neat. Disney had one, I think it was called JoJo Circus or something. And it was like kind of clowns. I've only seen it once. It was pretty neat. It was a couple years ago. And then somebody had a show a couple years ago with robots that were like claymation. Anyway, I don't know what that's called. Well, I guess we got to mention Chicken Run. The Wallace and Gromit guys put out that movie Chicken Run with the chickens, and they try to escape the chicken coop.
Yes.
That one was pretty cool. That was a pretty big deal, making that movie. Man, the amount of work that goes into that stuff is crazy.
Are you going to mention Pingu?
Pingu. I got it on here. I've never seen it, but have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it when I was in Switzerland.
Is it any good?
For a kid show, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all claymation. We were talking about Gumby, and how come you don't see stuff like that anymore? It looks like this ran for 156 episodes.
Dang.
Of claymation in 1986 to, I guess, 2005.
Wow.
And it was a Swiss television series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought it came out of Germany, but it was Swiss, and all claymation stop motion.
Wow.
So I guess they still do stuff like that.
Yeah, well, the Koala Brothers is, I think it might still be on. And then there's Shaun the Sheep. That's on now. That's by the Wallace and Gromit guys. It's about a dog that herds sheep, and they're little, like, 10-minute shorts. I think Dad...
Yeah, I've seen some of those.
Yeah, those are pretty neat. So I guess they're still doing it. The only other one I have is the PJs, which was that...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You ever see that, Dad?
No. What is that?
It's a story. It's kind of like a guy. What's PJ stand for?
Is that his name? Maybe.
Yeah, he's the. What do you call the guy that runs an apartment? I forgot.
Super. He's super. The superintendent.
That's right. He's a superintendent of like a project apartment.
Project. It's an apartment in the projects.
Yeah, and so it was. It was funny, but it also kind of dealt with stuff like there was one guy on there that was like a crackhead, and but it was funny. But
yeah, they dealt with a lot of more, I guess, urban issues, but it was always done kind of tongue in cheek. So even though the stuff they talked about was serious, you know, like gang violence and whatnot, it was always lighthearted enough that you weren't like bummed out.
Yeah, and all the characters were, you know, African American or.
I think the one of the guys was Hispanic. The lady from like Jamaica or something. So it's a pretty neat cast.
Yeah, they're running it on Cartoon Network right now. That's the only reason I remember that one. But I watched it when it was actually on. It was like on prime time.
Yeah, Fox, right?
Yeah,
because it would come on right after I think Futurama or Simpsons on Sunday, and Eddie Murphy does the voice of. The main guy, the super.
Yeah, and it was pretty neat. I mean, it was well done. That's all I got. I can't think of any other ones. But, oh, speaking of claymation, I'm not sure. We mentioned earlier that special effects use claymation, especially in the 80s. They would use it for, like, melting things, like melting faces. I think...
Melting candles.
Melting... I think Raiders of the Lost Ark, at the very end, where the guy's face melts... I'm pretty sure that might be claymation, or part claymation. I think some old, like, monsters or creatures might be sort of claymation. The Pee Wee Herman movie where he meets Big Bertha doesn't...
Oh, Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, doesn't, like, she look at him and her eyes get real big or something?
Yeah.
Isn't that claymation?
Yeah.
Okay, because that was weird. And isn't there some claymation in Evil Dead or something?
Oh.
I can't remember what, though. The hand or something? Or
there's definitely stop motion in there.
Yeah, maybe it's stop motion. I can't remember. Are there little creatures or something that's clay? I thought something was clay, but it could be just stop motion.
There was, yeah. There was claymation in one, the second or the third one. I don't remember which, though, or what it was. It was pretty rough, though, so it was probably the second one. So... Do you think they'll still do claymation now that it's almost possible to imitate it via computer graphics?
I would have said no a couple years ago, but Shaun of the Sheep is recent. I think the Koala Bears are still doing it. So, I don't know. I mean, I would say yes. And what's encouraging to me is I love it. I love when they mix claymation and stop motion. I like the claymation, but... Stop motion in particular, I really like. It doesn't have to be clay, like Coraline and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not claymation, but it's stop motion. I love it, and I hope they keep doing it. It doesn't have to be clay. And I'm encouraged because of Coraline and the Fantastic Mr. Fox. That kind of stuff is really neat. It's really good. I know everything's computer generated, and most of that stuff sucks. It just doesn't have any life. And they're bringing back a lot of 2D animation because people are getting tired of computer animation. So I don't think stop motion's really going to go away. Anyway, that's my take. I mean, you know, like I said, Fantastic Mr. Fox just came out. That's stop motion. Coraline came out last year. That's stop motion. What was it? The Corpse Bride was a couple years before that. Nightmare Before Christmas, you know, whenever that came out. So, I don't know. I don't think it'll completely die off. It's just, it's so charming. There's just so much character, and it's just like a different little world, you know. It's more realistic in a way than animation and computer animation, you know. Mm. You can, but it's not real, you know. But it's, I just love watching it. I love that stuff. Now, what do y'all think?
I think they'll continue to doing it. I guess it just, some of it just depends on economics.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at Shaun the Sheep website, and it's showing all the countries around the world where it's being shown, and it's just a ton of places where that thing is being shown. But I don't know if there's new episodes or not.
The show has to get advertising. People have to want to pay to advertise when the show runs, and then people need to buy the movies or the DVDs or the products, you know. And if no one does, then the next time someone comes and says, hey, I want to make a show like Shaun of the Sheep, they're going to be like, well, the last time we did it, no one bought any DVDs and no one wanted to advertise, so no. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So hopefully people will support it. I mean, I bought two or three DVDs in the past couple months that were just stop motion. I was like, yeah, man, that's awesome. I want to support them. So, you know, like the Koala Brothers and the Claymation Christmas and stuff, and, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of going to go away. Not permanently, but have a large reduction just because computer graphics were taking over. It seems like that's not entirely the case, which I agree. I'm very happy about. Agree with you. I'm very happy about. And I guess maybe even though computer graphics are cheaper and kind of abundant, they're still probably pretty expensive to do halfway decently, at least consistently and on a schedule. Because, you know, you see people on the net make some incredible stuff, but I don't know if they could do that on, you know, having to produce an episode a week.
Nowadays, anybody that wants to with enough work can make a computer animated show, you know. You see it everywhere, and you see a lot of just crap. So I was watching The Clone Wars tonight, and in this episode, Ahsoka, I missed the beginning, but she loses her lightsaber, and then I guess someone stole it, and she's got to track him down. Okay, so I'm not gonna spoil it, but I'm gonna talk about it. So if anybody doesn't want to listen to this part, just skip ahead a little bit.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so but I'm not gonna spoil it, but this is a problem I have with like writing and stuff. So she loses her lightsaber, okay, and then blah blah blah, she finds out who took it, and she sees him, and she goes, hey, that's my lightsaber. And then the other person goes, oh, you're a Jedi, you know, and then the other person runs away, and so she chases them for like 10 minutes. Okay, well, first of all, why didn't she use the Force and just yank her lightsaber back? Okay, so she, okay, you know, maybe she was startled, she didn't realize they had it. So she chases them, blah blah blah, and then at one point she uses the Force to like pull a pipe down to like try to knock the person over, and I'm like, why don't you either pull the person to you or pull the lightsaber, you know? You're a Jedi. That's, you know.
Well, I had the same problem when I watched season one, and you can't. You just gotta let it go. Otherwise, you will go crazy. It's like, what? No, don't just. Why don't you force? You know, force push, force jump, force choke. All, you know. But
yeah, I don't know. I have a problem with stuff like that because it's you set something up where they can use this force or someone has this skill. And then when it comes time for them to use it, they don't. And it's like, you know, that's part of the whole... You have to, like, follow the story where it goes. And if they have that ability, then they would use it. You can't just ignore it. You know what I mean?
Well, but if that was the case, and they were... I just think most of those people are incompetent in the shows. But you got to think if they weren't, I mean, they were, like, fully firing on all eight cylinders when it came to using their force and stuff, everything would be over quick.
Right. You know, and that's part of the problem is when they created this stuff, if you're going to give someone force pull, well, then you got to make, you have to like, you got to follow it through. Either they're going to use it, and if they can use it on everything, then you have to find a way where it doesn't work or it backfires. You can't just ignore it. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make it doesn't make any sense because eventually, you know, now it's episode the second season, and you're like, wait a minute, they should have been doing that all along, and then they got to go back and be like, oh well, if we did that, then it'd be over. And I'm like, well, then maybe you shouldn't be using the Jedis. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just like they you got to be careful about stuff like that.
Well, it's kind of like one of the things I picked up on right away was deflecting lights blaster bolts with your lightsaber is. I guess from what I read, pretty difficult to do and all that junk. Okay?
Okay.
And Ahsoka's over there, like, blocking everybody, and she's, like, 12 years old, 14 years old. I mean, she's not even a knight. She's a Padawan, and she's blocking lightsaber bolts and better than, like, anyone in anything, any movie prior.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, and speaking of, so in this episode, she loses her lightsaber, and then the other person is like, oh, how do I turn it on? And they push the button and turn it on. And so this other person is, like, chopping stuff left and right with the lightsaber. And I'm like, I thought only Jedi could use lightsabers. You know, if you could, anybody could use a lightsaber, well, wouldn't everybody want a lightsaber?
Yeah, I think the way they got around that was anyone can turn it on, but because it's so freaking dangerous, if you really think about it, you have to use the Force to help control it without severing your own limbs.
Yeah, but that... It's
creative writing. I mean, you know.
That's weak. I mean, it's just a sword. You know what I mean? Come on. That's weak. They should have just made it where only Jedi could use it and left it alone. But anyway.
Yeah, they could have. They could have done something like, well, because it uses crystals, and in order to get the crystals to synchronize each time you turn it on, you have to use the Force to get it to work. You know, it has to flow through you. And
yeah, see,
you know,
I mean...
I'm just saying, I never thought about this or anything.
No, I mean, that makes more sense than... Because I think they wanted somebody that's not a Jedi to get a lightsaber and fight him. And they didn't think about it. And then afterwards, they're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, that's the same thing I was talking about. Now it's like, well, everybody can use it, but you can't use it very well. I'm like, that's stupid, you know, that you messed up. You know?
What about General Grievous?
Exactly. That's probably why they... That's probably when it started going downhill because they wanted him to have them.
Does he even have Force powers?
I don't know anything about him, but
I'm sure they'll say he does or did. But he's like entirely a robot, except for like a bit, right? I mean, isn't he completely a cyborg except for whatever's left of him in his chest or something?
Yeah, except for his cough.
Yeah, and his stupidity.
Yeah, because in the other Clone Wars cartoon, Dooku, like, teaches him how to fight with the lightsabers. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. But it just seems kind of weird that, well, if anybody can steal a Jedi's lightsaber and use it, well, shoot, there'd be lightsabers everywhere. Because you can cut through anything. And deflect lasers? I mean, I'd rather have a lightsaber than a laser any day.
If you think about what you could all do with a lightsaber... Like, you know, as a Jedi Knight, in any situation, except for blasters, but, I mean, I guess you can block them. It's ridiculous. Like, the Rancor. Rancor comes at you, right?
Oh, yeah.
You cut his leg off with one swipe.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
It's not even funny.
You'd be unstoppable, almost.
Yeah. Like an AT-AT. AT-AT's walking at you. You just walk right by casually and cut his leg off.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder why Luke didn't do that.
Jeez.
Yeah, see, that's, you know, that goes back to the when you make stuff like that, you got to be real careful because they kind of like shy away from all that, you know, and he you know, when he crashes in Hoth and he uses his grappling hook and he goes up and he cuts a hole in it, throws a grenade in it. Well, now you're like, yeah, why didn't you just cut the leg? And you're like, oh, because then they could do that with everything. Well, I'm like, well, there you go. That's a lightsaber. Way to go.
But then it becomes too powerful, and so rather than come up with some kind of explanation that some people will accept and others won't, they just, we're not going to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, you know, I guess there's some justification to that, you know, because no matter what explanation they ultimately came up with, half the people would complain.
Yeah, sure.
Weren't the lightsabers built by the Jedis? I mean, you just don't go to a shop and buy one. Because I remember in the original three Star Wars episodes, Luke had to build his lightsaber.
Right.
Didn't Obi-Wan Kenobi, I don't know if he taught him or he figured out how to build a lightsaber. The only lightsabers there are the ones that are built by the Jedis, right? No one else knows how to build them.
Right. But, you know, okay. If you were a bad Jedi and you wanted an army, you know, give them all the lightsaber, you know? And then your army could just, like, wipe everybody out.
That's true. I mean, and that would make sense. The bad Jedis would figure out how to mass produce them.
Yeah. Man, I should write a fanfic. Yeah, a fan comic or something. That'd be awesome. But bad Jedis and they make an army with lightsabers.
They've already done that in video games.
Oh, they did.
Jedi Outcast.
Oh, okay. Well, this podcast was aired in 1989, so you'll be hearing from my lawyers, Lucasfilm.
Oh. One of the things that I forgot to mention last week when I was talking about the Star Wars Clone Wars is, and I'm curious as to how they're going to do this. So the series takes place between the second and third movies, which is when the Clone Wars going on. And we know that at the end of the third movie, pretty much all the Jedi are killed.
Right.
Is it Order 66 or something? I don't know. They're all just basically killed, except for a very hand few which get away and escape. And supposedly, only a hand few got away, and then Vader spent the next couple years or decades hunting them down and basically killing them. That's what he did.
Okay.
He you know, Vader would go, and he would find Jedis because he'd feel them in the forest, and then he'd kill them, so there were no Jedis. That's actually established canon. So what's going to happen to Ahsoka?
She'll be one of the ones that gets away, and they won't ever say.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, that's lame.
It is lame. Actually,
check this out. So then I got to thinking, and I'm like, okay, and Lucas, you can feel free to use this because it's gold. So in the movie, in the third movie, they never explain adequately why Anakin turns. I mean, it is one of the weakest reasons ever why he turns. It doesn't explain anything, okay? So what if... And it's kind of too late to retcon, but you can always redeem going forward. What if Ahsoka gets killed somehow because of Jedi ineptitude, right? It happens. And you know, you can already tell that Anakin and Snips kind of have a camaraderie.
Right.
So she could get killed because, you know, Jedi code or Jedi ineptitude. And that really kind of gets him thinking, wait a minute, you guys aren't doing something right here.
Did you see the last episode with the brain worms?
No.
Okay, well, it kind of deals with this. Ahsoka goes off on her own, and then they don't hear from her. And Obi-Wan and some other Jedi are like, "Oh, she's fine. Don't worry about it. She knows what she's doing." And Anakin's like, "She would have reported by now." So he tells one of the clone troopers, "Hey, keep your ear out in case she tries to contact me." And Obi-Wan and the rest of them are like, "You know, don't worry about it." And they were in trouble, and so. They capture some bad guy, and he knows about what's going on. And the other Jedis are like, "Oh, we can't get any information out of him." And Anakin's like, he knows what's going on. So he goes in there and starts beating him up and gets the information out of him. He starts force choking him. And then he goes back, and he's like, "Here's the information. Now we got to go help her." And they're like, "How did you get that information?" And he's like, "Don't worry about it." And so then they go, and then they end up helping her. And... so it looks like they're going that way now if they end up killing her or not. I mean, they should. And it looks like all the episodes are getting darker and darker, and Anakin's slowly, like, they're starting to show him turn.
I just think that'd be a great opportunity to kind of explain one of the things that turned him, because the movie did a horrible job. So here's a chance to kind of give a little more weight to, okay, it is believable that he would turn.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and especially if Obi-Wan had something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't casually go from, "Hey, I'm a Jedi, you know, you guys are my friends, you know, we're fighting side by side," to, "I'm going to kill every one of you."
Yeah, because, you know, they've been fighting side by side for, what, 5-6 years, or I don't know. Yeah,
you just don't, screw you guys.
Yeah, and then he's like, I'm going to kill all of you. You know, I'm like, what? No way.
Yeah.
But I heard on a podcast they're going to go for 5 seasons, so... hopefully by the time they get to the fifth one, it'll be really dark. I don't know.
That animated cartoon's already been on 4 seasons?
No, 2. Well, no, 2. Oh. One actually. They're starting 2 now, so.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just 1 season.
And then they're supposed to be doing a live-action show in a couple years, so.
Like a TV series?
Yeah, a TV series about the Clone Wars or something.
That would be interesting to see how they do that.
Yeah, the last I heard, he was going to make it a lot more about the politics and stuff, so I don't know. All right, well, y'all have anything else, or are you ready to wrap it up?
I'm done.
Yeah.
All right, well, everyone, thanks for listening. Also, just want to personally say thanks for bearing with us while I figured out the audio. Hopefully this one will be freaking awesome. If anybody wants to be on the show, or if you have any topics, you can email me at christophertupa@hotmail.com. Check out the website at ctupa.com. Oh, also, if anybody has a Star Wars trivia challenge for my brother Matthew.
Limited to the original trilogy.
No prequel questions?
No way.
Uh-oh. Okay, so trivia challenge, original trilogy only.
And extended universe.
And extended universe. So there you go, folks. So far, we haven't got any trivia questions, so I guess you're all scared to be whooped.
That's don't true. Make it be like for any of those crappy novels, like Darksaber. Oh, my gosh. You talk about the prequels ruining Star Wars.
Uh-oh. Okay, so there it is. There it is, people. Bring the challenge. Don't be scared. If there's anything you would like for us to talk about, or if you have something something we do that you don't like, feel free to let us know. okay, I don't know. Is that about it?
Sure. What are we going to do next week?
We can talk about trains.
Yeah, let's do trains.
Trains?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do trains, real trains, and model trains. How about that?
Okay.
That sound good?
Sure.
That should be interesting.
Okay, so hey, everyone, all the listeners. Sorry, the Apocalypse podcast, the audio was really bad. So we're going to redo that one because I didn't want to put it up because it was kind of rough. And next week, we're going to do trains. So come back. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so the Apocalypse is put on hold until we can get our podcast about it up, so you'll be ready.
Yes. So there you go. Thanks for listening. Good night. Y'all want to say goodbye or anything?
No, you can do it for us.
All right. All right, cool. Won't be here.